Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. As we read this lesson, I just want to remind you in the context of it that from chapter 9, verse 51 onward, Jesus, you remember, set his face toward Jerusalem. That is, he set his face toward the cross. So all these events and stories that we've been reading about over the last number of weeks are set in that context of Jesus understanding where he's going to Jerusalem, to the cross. And I think all these are enlightened and instructed by that reality. So, on that journey, the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later, you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. So as I said, they're on their way to Jerusalem, and Jesus has these various conversations with the apostles, and he has various encounters with people along the way. At any rate, in this conversation, the apostles said, and I think it's instructive, they're not really asking or requesting. It's kind of like a demand: increase our faith. So what can that mean, increase our faith? Does it mean that they didn't trust Jesus very much? Or does it mean that they didn't understand what he was up to, why he was going to Jerusalem? Did they have the wrong idea of what faith is? I think it's true that's probably all of the above. So what is faith? Ordinarily, I'm not terribly thrilled by the letters to Timothy, but I think he gives an extraordinary explanation of what faith is about. If you remember the words just read by Reverend David, "Relying on the power of God," the letter says, "God's own purpose and grace to bring life and immortality to light." That's God's purpose. That's what we're called to trust in. That God, through Christ Jesus, brings us life and brings it to our awareness, to our community. Faith, trusting God to bring life to light, that we experience it, that we trust it, that we know it. The disciples are still trying to figure this out. Jesus replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed." I read that to mean that Jesus is saying, if you really had faith, you wouldn't ask for more. Or perhaps Jesus is telling them that they have the wrong idea of what faith is. So he gives them this little lesson about preparing dinner, that the servants come in. This little story says, here's what faith is not. Faith is not a deal. Or shall we say, faith is not a quid pro quo. You do this and then you get that. It's not a reward system. Or back to the letter of Timothy, faith is not transaction based upon our works. You notice it said, of course, that was Luther's fundamental insight also. It's a lesson we all need to be reminded of. So perhaps the problem was that the disciples, we ourselves too often are focused upon ourselves alone. I think that's what Jesus' story about the slave preparing supper for the master is intended to teach. Don't fret about your own worth. That's not what faith and relationship are about. One has faith, but one does not achieve faith. It's a free gift from God. But as I was reading the story, I really got this ironic sense, a kind of a twist to the story. And I want to illustrate that by just giving you an example of what I thought about. It's really an approach to the people that I command. Well, I don't really command anybody, but I'm thinking of the people who work under me. For instance, my administrative assistant. Every day when I leave the office, I stop at the doorway and I speak to Sarah, my administrative assistant, and I give thanks for her doing what she was supposed to do. I'm grateful for that. I don't want her to say, "Oh, I am a worthless worker who only does what I am supposed to do." No, I want her to feel valued, related, that she's important. So, in light of this lesson, am I on the wrong track? Or is Jesus off base here? But let's once more set the story as I tried to do at the beginning of my introduction to the lesson. Setting the story in the major context of Jesus traveling to Jerusalem, knowing he's going to face these big challenges. When they all arrive at Jerusalem, and prior to Jesus' crucifixion, what does he say to his disciples? And what does he say to all of us as we gather here today? He says, "Come at once. Take your place at the table." I'm thinking, of course, of the Last Supper, the one we continue to celebrate. Does not Jesus himself put on the apron and serve us and then himself? And isn't his entire ministry characterized by eating with outcasts and sinners? By way of saying that each one with whom he dines, with whom he serves, also you and me, are of inestimable value in God's sight. Not slaves at all, but children of the living God, whose purpose is that life and immortality should come to light. The disciples' request or demand cannot truly be answered at the time they ask it, I don't think. It can't be answered until the depth of Jesus' commitment and service to us and to God's purpose of life for us is revealed and experienced on the cross. On the cross, Jesus' absolute commitment to us and faithfulness to bring us to new life would lead him into and through death. And God's absolute faithfulness to God's own purpose of life for each of us and all of us together as the community of God would bring Jesus and us into resurrection life, so that in our hearts and minds we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus is asking us with the disciples to take the focus off of ourselves and be faithful in God's purpose to bring life to others, to bring life and immortality to light. Jesus is asking us to repent our failure to serve others, that is, care for others as we would care for ourselves. Faithfulness is the empowerment to join in God's purpose to bring life to light, to follow Jesus. And faithfulness leads to the cross. The old self that Paul talks about in other of his letters, which looks for deals to build itself up, or the old self which builds itself at the expense or devaluing of others, dies with Christ and rises anew in forgiveness and the promise of life. So with the disciples, perhaps we also ask again, what is faith? Faith is coming to Christ in our need. And I'm thinking of a very specific one today. Generally, in the shadow of loss, in the shadow of death, perhaps we are all like the disciples. Increase our faith, give us faith, remind us once more of your purpose to bring life and immortality to light. This prayer is ours, and I think it reflects and is anticipated by the prophet Habakkuk in his lament and prayer. It is indeed our prayer when we are in the deepest of needs. It is our prayer when we're praying for our loved ones who are seriously challenged. In our world's need that we experience this day throughout the world, in the stranger's need, and as we bless the animals today, we remember incarnation's need itself. Our faith is that God is faithful to us in life, for life. Christ will come for us for life. As the prophet says, if it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come and embrace you in the light of life this day and forevermore. And trusting in Christ, we too then are trustworthy, caring and giving life for others. Amen.